Hi, I'm Mari Frank, host of Privacy, Piracy, and Prescriptions for Healing Conflict. Thank you so very much for listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine and KUCI.org on the net. This week is KUCI's Fun Drive. As hosts and music DJs right here at KUCI, we pledge our commitment to bring you the very best in public affairs shows and terrific music. We are all volunteers giving you the gift of great listening pleasure. So now we are asking you to give a gift back to the station. Please pledge your tax-deductible donation to continue this show and all the other great programs here at KUCI. Speaking of gifts, when you give a gift to KUCI, you'll also be eligible to receive a pledge gift from the KUCI station. But most of all, you will help to continue this show and all the other great shows that air 24/7. So thank you in advance for calling right now, 949-824-5824. That's 949-UCI-KUCI, 949-824-5824. Please remember when you call to mention the show you're listening to. Thank you so much for listening to Privacy Piracy and Prescriptions for Healing Conflict.
The opinions and views expressed in this program do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents. To find out more about this talk show or other talk shows broadcasting on KUCI, log on to our website at KUCI.org or check out the latest program guide.
You're listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine and KUCI.org on the net. Welcome to Prescriptions for Healing Conflict. I'm Lloyd, I'm the show's engineer, and your host is Mari Frank. Mari's been an attorney mediator for 26 years, and during that time she's resolved thousands of disputes as a neutral conflict healer. She's a member of the Orange County Superior Court Mediation Panel, and she's been a law professor of negotiations and mediation, and presently teaches negotiations right here at UCI. She's the author of Negotiations Breakthroughs and co-author of Stepping Stones to Success and several other books. To listen to previous interviews, see upcoming guests, download podcasts, and learn more, visit www.conflicthealing.com. So, Mari, what's your show about today?
Well, Lloyd, today our show is about conflict healing in the courts, and we have a wonderful judge with us. Someone who I knew many years ago and ran into him again recently, and he told me about some of the great things that he is doing. And then I was there when he got this fabulous award, which we're going to talk about in a minute. So I'm so pleased to tell my audience about the Honorable Lon Hurwitz, who was elected to the bench in June 2010. And before his term of office was to begin in January 2011, he was appointed to the bench by Governor Schwarzenegger. And from 2004 until his appointment, he served as a family law commissioner. And commissioners really serve as judges, do the same thing that judges do, but they're attorneys that are sitting as judges. And he did that for Orange County, handling paternity, child support, family law, domestic violence cases, and all sorts of things like that. Judge Hurwitz is currently assigned to a family law trial court where he hears all sorts of family law cases, and he is one of four judges in the county assigned to also hear elder and dependent adult abuse cases, which is a growing area. In 2009, Lon started the very first Veterans Family Law Domestic Violence Diversion Program in the United States, and this is part of a healing of those families. He's going to talk to us about that. In January of this year, he received the Distinguished Jurist Award from the American Academy of Matrimonial Lawyers. And he also received the Judge of the Year Award from the Orange County Bar Association Family Law Division. And I was there when he received it, and it was just really, everybody just loves him. Stood up, grand ovation, just really wonderful. From 2008 until 2010, he served as a member of the State Judicial Council and was the judicial council liaison to the State Domestic Violence Task Force, both by appointment from Chief Justice Ron George. He is currently a contributor and a contributing editor for the Judicial Council publication entitled Elder Abuse Pocket Reference. And this is a guide for judges who handle elder abuse cases. So before I could talk about him for a lot longer, but I want to get into talking with him so you can hear all about him. Your Honor, I am so thrilled that you are joining us this morning.
Thank you so much, Mara, and thank you for the opportunity to talk with you today. It really is a thrill for me.
Well, now you've been a judge of judicial, now you've been a family law judicial officer for 7 years. That's hard to believe, huh?
Yeah.
Three of which you've spent in family law domestic violence court. So that's a real tough place to be. Why don't you talk to us more about that assignment?
Yeah, I'd be glad to. It is a tough assignment, but it is a rewarding assignment because, as you well know, when you're dealing with families in crisis, these are folks that are at a point in their lives when they really need help and guidance, and you really have to act not only with a view towards protecting the litigants involved, but also with a view towards the best interests of the children that may be involved in these kinds of cases. In Orange County, we are fortunate in that we have a dedicated family law domestic violence court that hears nothing but domestic violence cases. And that gives us the ability to follow these families for an extended period of time and engage with them in the healing process through the whole domestic violence set of issues that arise from that. So we're not only dealing with the issues of power and control or anger, we're also dealing with the issues of implementing visitation plans that help families come back together, dealing with issues of substance abuse sometimes, in many of these cases, in fact, and dealing with the issues, as you mentioned earlier, of returning veterans and some of the post-traumatic stress disorder and traumatic brain injury issues that they have to deal with.
So how do you do that? I mean, I know it's a tough place to be. So tell us a little bit about how you did it and how that led you to the program that you've developed.
Well, what we have in domestic violence under our set of laws, when a judicial officer hears a case, and if that judicial officer determines that domestic violence has occurred, what I refer to as pulling the trigger in terms of making that kind of a decision, a lot of very serious things happen. Number one, person who is determined to have committed the domestic violence will be in what's called the California Law Enforcement Telecommunications Criminal Tracking System for up to 10 years and for at least the period of the restraining orders, which could be 3 to 5 years. Whenever a potential employer receives an application from this person, that employer will run a criminal history search. And even though in family law domestic violence we're not dealing on a criminal model, the criminal history search will reveal to the potential employer that there has been a finding of domestic violence, and this person may have difficulty getting that job.
Absolutely.
Effectively, they will be prohibited from ever becoming a doctor, a lawyer, a firefighter, a police officer, an airline pilot, a security guard, a bus driver, and a whole host of other occupations where a finding of domestic violence really takes them out of the mix in terms of being considered for that position. So as you can see, there is a problem here for a returning service member from a combat zone in terms of a transition to a logical next occupation, because many of our service members come back and want to go into firefighting, law enforcement, legal profession, medical profession. So the domestic violence finding becomes a real problem for them. Additionally, there is a presumption under our Family Code Section 3044 that the person who is found to have committed the domestic violence not have custody of their children. And that's very serious ramification, obviously. So with all of these things in play, we began to see back in 2008, 2009, that our returning service members who had post-traumatic stress disorder and traumatic brain injury issues were becoming involved in domestic violence cases because the dynamic was that the service member may have had 3 or 4 tours in Iraq or Afghanistan, and their significant other may have been left to deal with the family issues, the children, the home life, and then the service member returns home. The significant other has been left in charge, and of course the service member is trained to be in charge, and now we have this conflict.
Right.
And the significant other, of course, has received no counseling in terms of what to expect when the service member comes back with what we call PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, or traumatic brain injury. So now we have this blow-up in there in our courts on this domestic violence request for restraining orders. And as I say, we have all these ramifications. So before the service member can even come home and get his or her life back in order and start to return to a level of normalcy, we have this huge impediment, potentially, to their ability to work, to support children, to support a family. So what we did was approach the Veterans Administration, specifically the VA in Long Beach, to see if we might be able to talk about a specialized program that would allow us to issue temporary restraining orders for a year to continue to protect the family because of the post-traumatic stress disorder or traumatic brain injury problems, and yet still make it a temporary order so that the judge is not pulling that trigger and making that domestic violence finding. And the VA was very, very receptive to this, and in fact ended up getting permission and approval from Washington, D.C. For us to start the first of these programs in the country. And the way our program works is, as I mentioned, there is an agreement between the parties that the temporary restraining orders would be extended for a year. The service member agrees to meet with the veterans liaison for our Orange County Health Services Agency, who then determines what services the service member is eligible for, and either gets the service member to the VA or the vet center or the different programs for treatment of post-traumatic stress disorder, traumatic brain injury after a proper assessment, and combines that with our batterers intervention program approved by our probation department or our anger management program and any programs regarding substance abuse overlay. So this way, the service member can go to one place to receive all of the treatment that's necessary to deal with these issues. We hold periodic review hearings every 90 days. We get progress reports to see how the service member is doing, if the service member is improving and doing everything that the therapists and the counselors are asking the service member to do. We begin the process of extending and integrating the service member back into the family and visitation with the children, whether it be monitored, whether it be unmonitored, so that eventually, with the target of 1 year, at the end of that 1 year, if the service member has successfully completed the program and the victim is comfortable, the restraining orders are dropped with the court having never made a finding of domestic violence, with the understanding that if there ever is another problem, the significant other can come back in and ask for those orders again. There's never a prohibition on that because of the need under our Domestic Violence Prevention Act that a victim continue to be safe and feel safe. So that's the quick overview of our program, and we're very, very pleased with how it's been proceeding, and we're hopeful that we're going to be able to help a lot of service families with the returning veterans, roughly 60,000 to 80,000 over the next 18 months from Afghanistan and Iraq.
And how does that work in terms of this? Is it like a stipulation, or is it an order? Like you get the spouse who's been left behind, you get that he or she to agree to this? Is it like a stipulation, or is it something that you give an order but you get permission from the victim to do this? How does that work?
No, it is completely a stipulation.
Okay.
And the way it works is, and I have yet to have any victim say no to this. And we make the offer to them after explaining to the victim, this is what's going to happen if I make a call on this, if I determine whether or not there has been domestic violence. And we explain what happens if I determine there has been and all the ramifications I just mentioned. And likewise, we indicate, well, this is what happens if I find there is insufficient evidence to determine that there was domestic violence. You will have no orders at all. And all of the families involved have agreed to this because when we extend that temporary restraining order for a year, they are getting precisely the same protection they would get as if I had made that domestic violence finding.
But there's a chance that there is going to be some reconciliation, some healing.
Exactly.
That's just wonderful. So, do you have any statistics about how many people really are able to be healed from this, or at least rehabilitated?
The program has been in effect now for about a year, so we're just getting to the tail end of our first year of the program itself. And as I say, it has a 1 year time parameter. So we're just starting to get those statistics in, and we're very pleased with what we're seeing. We've had several reconciliations. We have not had to extend beyond that year. Because even though the 1 year is a guide or is a goal, if necessary, we can, of course, they can come in at the end of the year and say, well, Your Honor, you know, he's made progress or she's made progress, but not quite as much as I would like to see, and I would be a lot more comfortable if we extended this another 90 days or another 6 months. We haven't had to do that yet. So I'm pleased with where we're going, but in total candor, we don't have a lot of these cases yet. We've got a couple of dozen. I believe that once the bulk of our troops are brought back, and we see in Orange County those troops that are returned to Camp Pendleton and to the Los Alamitos Reserve Station, we're going to start seeing a lot more of these cases, more than likely.
Exactly. So what about the funding? How does that work? Is it all through the VA, or how does that work?
Well, it is and it isn't, because the VA only has services available to certain types of discharged veterans, and the Vet Center is available to other types of discharged veterans. So that's why we use our veterans liaison through the Orange County Health Services Agency as a case manager. And in fact, representatives of the Orange County Health Services Agency are in our courtroom on the day that we have the initial hearing when the veteran is there, so that the veteran can meet directly with that liaison, and the liaison can explain what he can do for the service member right then and there.
Wow, what a terrific program. So are there any real challenges that you have? I mean, it sounds like it's really positive. What are the challenges?
Well, the challenges are obviously the issues of post-traumatic stress disorder themselves, because they vary in degree. From what we're seeing, it can be a minimal effect of PTSD, or it can be a major effect of PTSD, and depending upon the level of PTSD, we have challenges in terms of visitation with the kids, for instance. Do we have to have it monitored? And the veteran, of course, the service member, is used to identifying specific goals and doing certain things to achieve that objective or that goal. And in this endeavor, it isn't a black and white sort of a task. It's very gray, because we don't know how the veteran is going to react to the counseling and to the therapy that they're going to be receiving. So many times I'll get the veteran in the first hearing, and the veteran will say to me, "Well, Your Honor, if I do this, 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 and this, when can I see my children?"
Right, right.
And you know, I don't have an answer for him or her, because I don't know how they're going to do in their therapy or their counseling sessions. So that's a big challenge for me, and that I have concerns about that.
And it's got to break your heart, because if they've been away and they deployed for a couple years and they're dying to see their kids, and their kids are growing up, you know, I mean, it's very heartbreaking.
It is indeed very heartbreaking. And the best I can do for them is to say, look, you know, what has to happen is that your children have to want to see you, and they can't be afraid to see you.
Right.
Okay. And the way we're going to get there is for you to help us by going into this program, by working with our veterans liaison, by listening to what your counselors and your therapists have to say, by doing everything that they're suggesting that you do, and creating a situation where we have children who want to be with their dad or with their mom, as opposed to me ordering them to be with their dad or their mom.
Right.
Because that can just polarize the situation, as you well know, Mari.
Exactly. We are speaking today with Judge Lon Hurwitz. who started the very first Veterans Family Law Domestic Violence Diversion Program in the whole United States. And we're talking about this program. And this is really, you know, this is another way of doing restorative justice. That's really what we're doing. And that is talking about healing families and healing situations where people can go on and be productive in their lives.
I should mention, in all of these cases, we have what's called a domestic violence assistance office that does the initial intake from the victim, and there is a form that they fill out in which they are asked specific questions about whether the alleged perpetrator is a veteran. Has he or she been deployed? How many times? Where did they go? And also ask, was there ever a history of domestic violence or abuse before they were deployed?
Right.
And if the answer is no, then these folks are going to be eligible for our program. If the answer is yes, they may not be eligible for our program because now we have a situation where there may have been a domestic violence issue unrelated to the military history.
Right. Anything else? Any other success story you could share?
Well, we've got some in progress. We've got some vets that are in the midst of their programs who have already come in and said, "Thank you, Your Honor, for letting us do this. I'm learning a lot. I know I've got a long way to go, but you know, thank you." And you know, of course, when you hear that, it makes up for the stories that unfortunately don't work. But most of the veterans that we have, I'm pleased to say, they are pretty much on board with what we would like them to do. And that's the one great part about this program is that you really have folks that are invested in the process and want this to work. I can't say that about the general domestic violence family law population because, you know, many times we have folks that are very resistant to working with us in terms of batterers treatment programs or anger management programs because they don't realize in many cases that they have a problem. The veterans that we have dealt with are very, very pragmatic and very much understand, this is an issue, we're going to deal with this issue, and we're going to move on.
Right, especially if they never did something like that before and they come back and they're just like a fish out of water.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
They don't know where they are.
Yeah.
Wow. So what is the little spiel that you give them when they come in?
Well, first of all, it's important that I give both sides an opportunity to be heard before I say anything because this is their court. So I will first ask whoever's requesting the restraining orders, ma'am, sometimes sir, but usually it's ma'am, are you still requesting restraining orders today? Yes, Your Honor, I am. And I will ask the alleged perpetrator, sir, are you prepared to go forward today? Yes, Your Honor, I am. And I will then ask her, is everything in your declaration true and accurate? Yes, Your Honor, it is. Anything you want to add to that, ma'am? And then give them an opportunity to tell me, you know, everything that's going on so that we have an understanding of what the dynamic is with this family and give him an opportunity to respond. And then I'll ask if either side wants to present any other evidence. And if they do, usually they don't, but if they do, I will listen to that evidence. And I'll then say, look, folks, I can do this one of two ways, okay? If I find that there was domestic violence, here's what's going to happen. If I find there was no domestic violence, there's going to be no orders at all. Now, in this particular case, we have a veteran who was deployed, you know, X number of times, served in these theaters of operations, and we have a Veterans Domestic Violence Diversion Program. And here's how that works. And then I'll explain the process. And then I will say, with that understanding, ma'am, would you like to extend the temporary restraining orders that you currently have for a year and give our veterans liaison an opportunity to get him to some folks that can diagnose and can assess and perhaps get him to some treatment so that perhaps we can deal with the PTSD issues, we can deal with the domestic violence issues, we can deal with the substance abuse issues, and revisit this every 90 days to see how he's doing. And then at the end of the year, if you're comfortable, We drop these restraining orders with an understanding that you can always come back at any time and ask for them again. And at that point, I'll look for a yes or no or questions if either side has them, and we'll go forward.
Now, does anyone ever say no?
Not yet. Not yet.
Hey, that spiel works. It's that is really pretty convincing.
Well, I don't know if it's convincing, but it
Well, it's positive. There's what's the downside? Because the bottom line is if it's not working, you know, you always have the opportunity and you have the power to say, okay, this is domestic violence. That's it.
That's exactly correct. And in fact, under our state Domestic Violence Prevention Act, if a victim insists that I make a decision one way or the other as to whether or not domestic violence occurred, I am required under the law to make that decision. So at any time, she, and again, I keep using she, it could be he, but usually it's she, can always come in and say, Your Honor, I'd like you to make that finding today.
Right. And that hasn't happened because you are doing what we call restorative justice. And wow, that is just wonderful. Believe it or not, we are out of time, Your Honor. Do you believe that? Was that fast or what?
That was very fast, yes.
You know what, Lon? We're going to have you back because now you're just about a year, and we're going to have you back and see what happens next year and see how you could maybe even expand this. It's wonderful.
Thank you so much, and thank you so much for the opportunity to talk with you and your audience today. It's been a great pleasure.
Yeah, and we have a lot of veterans that are in our county that are coming back, so this is a very important program. And now you can just spread it all over the country. It's great.
Hopefully, yes.
Okay, so thank you so much. We will be talking to you again. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine and KUCI.org on the net. I'm Mari Frank. Join us every Monday morning at 8:30 right here on KUCI and visit our website at conflicthealing.com. Thanks.
Expressed in this program do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents.
Hi, I'm Mari Frank, host of Privacy, Piracy, and Prescriptions for Healing Conflict. Thank you so very much for listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine and KUCI.org on the net. This week is KUCI's Fun Drive. As hosts and music DJs right here at KUCI, we pledge our commitment to bring you the very best in public affairs shows and terrific music. We are all volunteers giving you the gift of great listening pleasure. So now we are asking you to give a gift back to the station. Please pledge your tax-deductible donation to continue this show and all the other great programs here at KUCI. Speaking of gifts, when you give a gift to KUCI, you'll also be eligible to receive a pledge gift back from the KUCI station. But most of all, you will help to continue this show and all the other great shows that air 24/7. So thank you in advance for calling right now, 949-824-5824. That's 949-UCI-KUCI, 949-824-5824. Please remember when you call to mention the show you're listening to. Thank you so much for listening to Privacy, Piracy, and Prescriptions for Healing Conflict.